You can't look at my life at 51, chapter 51, and start at chapter 50. You got to go back to at least chapter 15, maybe 14, and understand where I am at chapter 51. Does that make sense?
Hey everyone, welcome to Heart to Hearts. I am Grace.
And I'm Terrence Harge. We're going back into our discussion with Stephen McQuarrie about his divorce and his divorce recovery process. Ira Rounseville joins us. So is it okay if we hit rewind all the way back to 15 for a moment?
Yes,
because Stephen,
I agree.
There was something that that happened that was affecting not only your life, but my life. Somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like to talk about
no,
that a bit?
You go ahead and I'll piggyback on it. That slipped my mind. At 51, it's hard to go back to 15. But as I've said before, if you're going to understand chapter 51 or chapter 50, you got to go back. You got to go back. Mm-hmm.
There was something traumatic that was actually happening as it relates to both Stephen and I. We both had people who we loved dearly who were involved in a court case that could have snatched people we cared about deeply, family members that we relied upon from our lives. So, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong, but we both were kind of dealing with some trauma even after you entered. As you were entering this relationship.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong about that?
Do you remember how old you are? I mean, how old you were?
I think I was about 14 or 15.
Okay.
And it was an extremely scary time.
Okay. So that means I must have been, if you were 14, I was 15. If you were 15, then I was 16. Ira and Grace, and to those listening, we went through a very traumatic experience. And the experience was so traumatic that my father actually got pulled out of my life, actually went into the prison system over some business deals. He ended up going to prison. At that time, I was in relationship with now my ex-wife. And it's very interesting. About a year and a half ago, almost 2 years, walking through healing, I was sitting in my room in my chair, and the Holy Spirit said to me, so, and I'm not trying to get preachy, but the Holy Spirit said to me so vividly, I can hear his voice right now. He said, when you were the age you were, your bond was trauma. And I went right back to that age. Mm-hmm. You bonded in trauma because she was there. Mm-hmm. I told her the secrets. Mm-hmm. I told her the things that were going on. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very startling things that I would find out. I told her about it. So there was definitely a trauma. I mean, my dad was leaving. My dad was gone. So here I am trying to keep everything flowing. Because he told me, he said, hey, Mac, when he called me back, he said, I'm coming back in 2 weeks. He said, I'm coming back. I'm going in. I'm coming back. Well, 4 years later, he comes home. So the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, there was things in common. Yes, you liked her, yet a lot of things, but there was an emotional bonding trauma.
Irrespective of how you got to that point at 15 where you and there was that traumatic event, again, in our lives, there are things that happen to us and we look for connection for healing, right? So whether it's to cure loneliness, to cure trauma, to cure feeling unseen, right? And I think, again, what's important to understand and what we can take away from this story is if we don't slow down life long enough to go back and understand that chapter or to understand the chapter where we are currently, we're going to make decisions and we're going to go into situations and circumstances that could have devastating consequences, or at the very least could bring some heartache and some hurt and keep us from maybe even our call, our purpose. And so it doesn't matter if it happens at 15, at 50, or at 21. Again, the difference is being present enough to understand that I'm big on motivation. What is my motivation? Like, we'll rush into something because it feels good, because we haven't felt good for so long, right? We rush into something because, well, this is the first time it's happened this way, because we've been desiring for it to happen that way for so long. And so again, we'll take whatever that comes and not do the proper evaluation to determine if that's what is for us, right? And so we just go. And so in those moments, so brother, I mean, you said it's no excuse, but you have every alibi available to man, right? You had a traumatic experience. You developmentally, you were not there. You were not ready, right? And again, if you guys were sexually involved, right, that adds a whole nother element, especially again at such a young age. And then at the age you get married. So all these things when you weren't even ready in the first place, and now you gotta grow up. Now you gotta play adult. Now you got to play house, like for real, for real. And all of this transitioning is happening both emotionally, psychologically, and physically. And again, who's walking you through that? Who's talking you through that? Who's effectively processing that with you? And then how do you even decide where to start? Do I deal with my dad? Do I deal with the trauma? Do I deal with my wife? Do I deal with the infraction? What do I deal with? I don't know how to do this. And then you find yourself 30 years later.
Stephen, did you become curious about other women while you were married? And if so, what did you tell yourself?
Yeah, so y'all really going there.
As deep as you want to.
I got another question too.
Okay. I'm glad because you're kind of quiet over there, Grace.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I came into my own later. Sometimes you don't realize things about yourself till you grow up a little bit. So I realized later certain things. And so curiosity came at that time, right? So that was because yeah, later on that came. I really discover myself later on, some of the 20s, as I went along, if you know. So some things I'll keep it there.
Grace, can I speak to that really quickly and then you ask your question?
Sure.
So Stephen, you said something earlier about clinically unpacking it or giving that a label or a name. So when we experience trauma, there's what I call a especially as children, right? There's a developmental delay, right? And so in essence, and you alluded to it, right? So you revert back once you kind of pick yourself back up and you're kind of in your right state of mind, you kind of pick up from where you left off, right? So if your trauma happened at 15, 16, whatever that age is, by the time you get to the point of kind of picking yourself up, well, developmentally, socially, emotionally, you're still operating from that space. So when you say that in your 20s or what have you, you're kind of finding yourself, you're kind of learning things about yourself, again, it's because you're literally catching up socially, emotionally, developmentally, you're catching up with yourself. A lot of times we see it played out in if you see like young people who get pregnant as teenagers, right? And so by the time, so if you get pregnant at 15, by the time the child is old enough to kind of care for themselves in terms of being able to walk, talk, feed themselves, like by five, so then that that young lady is 20, but then she's ready to party and play, and it's kind of leaving the child behind, because developmentally, again, she's just picking up where she left off, because that's what a 16-year-old would want to do. They want to go out and party, they want to go out and hang. They're not considering the responsibilities. And then as a man, again, developmentally, the whole theory, the back in the days, you know, you're sowing your wild oats and those sorts of things. So Terrence, your question, I think is appropriate. But again, it also goes back to the question that Grace asked about, when did you know that the marriage was in essence done, even though, again, it took the 30 years, or it took the point before you actually put in that paperwork. So I just wanted to highlight that and say, again, one more thing stacked against you in terms of the developmental delay that you have. And so emotionally, you're trying to catch up with yourself chronologically. And it's kind of like you're forever in a deficit in that regard. Okay, Grace, you're going to ask a question.
Starting a relationship that young, do you feel like that was trauma in itself, being in a relationship at 15, 16?
At the time, of course, you don't. But looking back on it now, you can kind of see it was, because 16, I'm trying to be faithful. 17, I'm trying to be faithful. 18, trying to be faithful. 19, married, right? 20, married. So those developmental years, I'm in a relationship. Like Ira said, as you grow older, developmentally, mentally, physically, you start thinking, wow, maybe I really wasn't ready, because you see your friends. So like during that time, I had friends that were going off to college or doing different things with their life. And here I am. And I'm certainly not telling people not to get married early. But I think if you're going to do anything like that, you better have massive tools. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Your mind ain't even developed. And Ira can certainly speak to this. Even as a man, your brain ain't developed until, what, 20?
24, 26.
24, 26. And so.
And we slow. You know we slow. It takes us a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I have another question. As it relates to your marriage, what is it you think you need to be healed from?
I dealt with a lot of guilt with the infractions in my marriage. And it was very important for me not to hide behind Ira 15, 16. Because 15, 16, 17, you know right and wrong. Kids know right and wrong. It's just certain things you shouldn't do in your marriage, in your relationship, okay? But not having the tools, doing this thing very early, is some things I succumbed to. So that was part of my healing. And I go back to what my counselor said. Yeah, so you didn't have the tools. I know you're making all of these excuses, but you don't have to. Stand in your truth and say, hey, listen, yes, I didn't have the tools to do any of this. And quite frankly, my ex-wife didn't either. So you can imagine both of us trying to build a house with a 2x4, a ruler, a nail and a hammer. So when I preach grace, when I teach grace, like I really, really mean it, because it was nothing but the grace of God that kept us this long and to have three beautiful children like we had. Like my youngest son will graduate college next year. We're going to have three college graduates. That don't happen without some kind of grace with the things we've been through. So yes, healing. I am healing. I am getting healed. It's a process, right? Because there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, when you with somebody that long, even coming out of that relationship, you have, and I know ain't none of y'all ever got high, but these contact highs that you get with people around smoking, yeah, you come out smelling like the reefer. Sometimes in relationships, you come out smelling like the relationship, and you have to be careful. You got to air yourself out.
Stephen, I realize we don't have your ex-wife here to get into her story, but you know, we're about healing. But can you speak to how she's doing? And how your kids are doing, and what their healing process has been like?
It was very rough at first. I think her healing is a continuous journey as well. She penned some kind of book She, from what I understand, does some podcasts sometimes with a podcaster, and she gathers different people. So, you know, I think in that aspect, she's working through the healing. My children, they were used to family, dad very present. And so now when they come in town, so sometimes they stay at mom's when they come in town, and then sometimes they'll visit me. We go out as a family. So in that aspect, you know, the friendship is great because we can abide. You know, one thing in Ira, you could definitely speak to this. One thing, where if the kids are all here, I'll go over there. We'll have games or whatever. So the grace, actually her grace in that situation to me is phenomenal. It's phenomenal because she opens up the home and I go over there and talk to them and play games, especially when all of them are here. So in that aspect, God has been very, very good to maintain some sense of normality as it pertains to the family unit.
And you know what, Stephen, I want to just speak to that really quick. I think, unfortunately, it's a misnomer that because something ends that there has to be dysfunction to follow. It doesn't have to be common for there to be discord just because the relationship didn't last. As you said, three amazing people came of your union. And the deal is that whether you were bonded to your ex-wife out of trauma or not, you were yet bonded. You guys shared intimacies and time and routine and tradition and all of those things together. And so for it to just dissipate and you kind of engage with each other as if it never existed, that is abnormal. It's always boggled my mind when I see people who have been in relationship and then the relationship ends, and then it's just this venomous response towards one another. And I'm like, especially if you have children, and I'm like, but wait, you brought life into this world. And so to respond that way to me is more abnormal than again what you all are exhibiting. And again, what I think is important for your story, and so if I lean into the Christianity aspect of it, again, you're modeling for the audience, and you're modeling for other people, is to show them that, hey, when, again, so we praise God when things are going well, and we praise God when things are going bad, right? And so the deal is that if you can be good in the relationship, why couldn't you be good out of the relationship? The relationship is the thing of its own. Your marriage is your marriage, but your family is something else, right? And your family will always be, regardless of whatever marriage certificate exists or not. And so if we lose sight of, again, what God created in us, through us, and for us, that is abnormal. That is unusual.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, especially walking through this, for me being in ministry as well, and knowing people from back in the day, you kind of almost put yourself under some kind of condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How you gonna minister? Well, I can tell you how. I got plenty to minister about.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have lost no anointing.
Mm-mm.
I have lost no grace. Matter of fact, grace has increased.
Absolutely.
Over my life. My ministry has increased.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things I know is the Lord was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He saw me. He saw the boy.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he still chose to use me.
Mm-hmm.
When I said I do at 19,
mm-hmm.
he saw 51. When
yes,
I
sir.
Said, hey, I like you, you know, let me have a hug, he saw 51.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees everything, but yet he still operates in grace towards us. And I'm grateful. And so I don't have this. I don't walk around anymore. I don't with excuses of, well, you know, I didn't. Now listen. No, I did some wrong things. But his grace is sufficient. And it's not that I'm hiding behind his grace, but once again, grace.
Yes.
Grace is laughing. I'm grateful for his grace.
You know, one thing I love about Stephen is that I joke with him that he speaks in sermons. We'll have a conversation.
Yeah, I was about to say the doors of the church are open.
I know. That's some good stuff. I like what he was bringing. He knew him when he was 15, and he knew him when he was 51. It kind of reminds me of David when he said, even if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You know,
you ain't hear the organ in the background?
He knows you in your dark places, and he knows you in your lit places. That's some good stuff. I like that, Stephen. And I know I said this on our part one, was that they really have gone the extra mile to make sure the kids are healthy, to celebrate them. I came to Stephen's youngest son's birthday party when he turned 18 recently. And the way that they just
21. He turned
21. Oh, my youngest. I took a few years off, huh?
Yeah,
He has that baby face. That's right. He turned 21. Your youngest is 21 years old. Wow. That's true. But they just have a way of kind of coming together. And I think that that's to be commended. Stephen, you want to tell us anything about the books you've written?
Yeah, so I actually have not written anything on relationships. That's coming. But I've written several booklets on, one is The Grace for Purpose. That's coming out in a few months. We have written The Grace of the Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 Days of Grace is a devotional I've done. And Seeds of Grace is another one I did. And Grace Minerals. So all those are out. The copies for actually The Grace of the Blood will be out actually in a week, 2 weeks at most. So I'm excited about that. The Lord gave me all of that. You would think he would give me stuff on relationships, but I'm pinning that now. I told my sons and my daughter, I said, I haven't done everything right, but trust me when I tell you, I can tell you about relationships. I've been in them a long time.
Amen to that. Stephen, I want to thank you for coming. Ira, thank you for guiding us, giving your advice and your input. And
my pleasure.
Little Sister Grace, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing your story, Stephen.
Thank you all for having that.
I'm Ira, believing that it's going to bless.
Hey, listen, I was getting healed when he was talking, getting more healed.
Praise him.
Praise God for healing.
Amen.
All glory to him. Absolutely.
Well, my friends, go spread joy with a contagious smile, and a hug doesn't hurt. You never know whose life you might be changing or whose heart you might be healing. With my co-host Grace and my friends, God bless you guys.